Thank you, God, for your wonderful word. Thank you for the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest. Lord, we thank you for this privilege to be here and study your word. Thank you for giving us a place to meet. Lord, it's good to be here and have you listen to us, teach us today. Please do so, Lord, and open up our ears to receive. And Lord, speak personally to us how to best apply these words. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's just wonderful to be a Christian, God's child. Like we've seen miracles this week. We saw Adam last week in church in answer to prayer. Then Tuesday we get this other answer to prayer and we say, God is good, you know, all the time. And we need to know that and really believe that and live it. And know he's going to take care of us as we put him first. He will. If we put him second, we'll have some problems. But if we put him first, our lives, our homes, our church, our country will be in order. That's the key. And, you know, we're God's children, the ones that are called to pray and to seek his face in these days. And you know, we've learned in the book of Ephesians that, yes, we're saved by grace, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's through faith. And when we do, we become spiritually alive. We're born again and dwelt with the Holy Spirit. And we become God's child. You're his son, his daughter. And I am his son. And I'm part of the family of God. You see, me child, he father. That's the way it is. And that's the way we need to act. All Christians are one family. And so he goes on in verse 1, therefore, since we are, and he just went over how we should be behaving, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Isn't it wonderful he calls us dear children? We're dear children. He doesn't say you misbehaving troublemakers. It's so hard to put up with you. No, he says, you're my dear child. In our worst hour, God loves us. Isn't that amazing? Amazing grace. God loves us. But he says, since we are children of God, we need to be imitators of God our Father. We need to be reflecting him. In our natural physical life and body, children bear some resemblance to their parents. You know, a lot of times we'll meet somebody and say, boy, they look just like their father or just like their mother. Or he looks just like his dad or he looks just like his mom. You know, we're mimicking parents. That's what we're doing. Some resemblance. Could be the father or mother. And then there's more than a physical resemblance. You know, the child mimics or imitates a parent. And their mannerisms, did you ever see that? A young child said, wow, they do that the same way their dad does. Isn't that strange? Well, that's not strange. It's the genes. You know, it's the DNA. In their actions, in their speech, they kind of mimic them. And it's easy to notice. Children, especially when young, they imitate a parent or look like a parent in some way. You know, when they're a young child, they may get into a car and start driving just like dad. Why? I hope my children never drove like me. I'm really not a good driver. But they do that. They get in the car. Do you remember when they used to have those little steering wheels you could plug onto the dashboard and they would sit down and make believe they're driving and steering the car? You know, some people, when I drive, they'd still do that. They got the foot on the brake and they're driving. You know, they have this little steering wheel. You know, young sons may watch their dad work in the yard or garage and mimic what they are doing. Some walk like their dad. Some children use gestures and talk the same way as a parent. Stand like their dad. I remember years ago when I was at Calvary Costa Mesa, and we would always be in the lobby of the pastors, and you would see a dad and a son come in. Man, some would be dressed just alike. They'd have the tie on and all. And they'd stand just like them and hold the Bible just like them and say, isn't that amazing? Just like them. If you know our grandson Jesse, then you know his dad. He looks just like him. A lot of you know Jesse. Just finished school, and this past Wednesday, he did his first Bible study for their church at Calvary Chapel Parker. And many of you remember when he was that big, and he's now teaching. And so, and you say, but sounds just like his dad. It's amazing, you know? And you see little girls, they play house or act like mom. You can even hear them reprimand a doll. Don't do that, you know? And you see all this mimicking going on. They're family, and you can tell. You can also hear foul language, profanity, anger come out of a very young mouth. Where do they hear it? The parents will usually say, where did you hear that? And before the child can say, from you, they put their hand over their mouth. They're mimicking bad habits of mom or dad. You can see them arguing with their doll or learning some bad lessons from the parents. See, children mimic parents. And it can be good or bad. That's why we have a responsibility as a Christian, as a parent, as a single person, as an adult in front of our children to act like a Christian. We have that responsibility to do that. Bite your tongue. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. The word imitators in the Greek is mimetes. It means mimic. You're copiers of. Did you ever get embarrassed by what your young child said or did in public? I remember, you ought to watch what you share in front of your children, because you can be in the store and they all of a sudden can say, oh, you said you don't like that person, mommy. You know, what? I never said that. Did you ever get embarrassed in public? And you protect yourself by saying, where did you get that from? Where did you learn that word from? Well, at home. Sad. Well, I think we all agree with the fact that parents would want their children to mimic their good traits. We all would want that. Well, God is good. We say that. God is good. When? All the time. Who's our Father? God. Then how often do we have to be good? All the time. Our mouth, our actions, all the time. Mimic God. In the last three verses of the previous chapter, God gave us some things. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. These are commands from the Lord, and we can't depart from them. This is it to us individually. And so when he says, be imitators of God as dear children, that's what we need to do, be forgiving one another. And then in verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When you're forgiving, you're walking in love. When we're not forgiving, we're not walking in love. And it doesn't say that the other person needs to forgive you. It's speaking to us as a Christian. We need to be forgiving and walk in love, and in these other, and be tender-hearted and kind. We need to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And what did he do for us? He gave himself for us. He went to the limit. You know, husbands may say at times, oh, I love you, honey, I'd die for you. God says, just live for them. I'm not asking you to die for them. Just live for them. Shut your mouth. Appreciate her. Lift her up to the Lord. Pray with her. Read with her. Encourage her. Be forgiving. Be kind. Be loving. That's what I want you to do. That's what the Lord says. Because I didn't say you have to die for her. I want you to live for her. And to wives, he says, live for him. Love him. Encourage him. Be kind, forgiving. Walk in love. Children, love your parents. Children, honor your parents. We're going to get into all those things in this book. That's what the Lord says to do. Literally live it out. See, our faith is not just lip profession or a belief system in our head. Our faith is a living, living person, Jesus Christ, and he wants us to live out our faith and show it to other people. It's a living faith. You can't accept Christ into your life and go back to the way you were. You're a new creature in Christ. And love one another. And how often do we forgive people? Remember Peter thinking he's a real great guy? He says, this guy, you know, he's a pest. How many times do I have to forgive him? He keeps doing the same thing. 7 times acting like a big guy. You know, hey, I can forgive him 7 times. Jesus said, whoa, 70 times 7. In other words, innumerable. You keep forgiving. You don't harbor unforgiveness in your heart. I'm not to harbor unforgiveness in my heart. That's hard, you say, but not impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. You see? He's really pinning these Christians down and us down into living what we believe. And it's important to walk in love and to live a life of loving others and, like Christ did, laying yourself down for others. That's the key. Be willing to lay yourself down for other people, for the betterment of other people. And sometimes it means just keeping our mouth quiet. Even when you know or you think they're wrong, just bite your tongue. It's going to hurt. But the way not to get in that position is to just have a loving and compassionate heart, a heart for people. We must have a heart for... We see a lot of hate today, don't we? One thing God has done in this year is present and expose the way people really are. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We hear a lot of bad things coming out of the mouth. It's in there. And God has exposed it. And there's a lot of hate. And people are shocked. Oh, I didn't know people were this way or this prejudice or this racist or whatever. People are. You know, when we were going down to Louisiana a lot after Katrina and ministering to the people and working down there with them, I was shocked at things that still existed down there because you're isolated here. You think, hey, everything's cool. Got a good life. Cool churches. Things are good. We forget there are people persecuted. We'd go in a restaurant and see a sign that says, we have the right to serve who we want to serve. And you know exactly what that meant. Because there was one color of people in there. I was shocked. Still existed. There were people that would walk in a restaurant and badmouth people working in the kitchen and all. And order them to do certain things. And these are customers because those people working were of a certain color. I didn't know whether to intervene or not. I said, this is the culture. People are accepting this. And so I just bring this up to show you there's a lot of hate. And how do we conquer hate? With love. We Christians have the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. We can't hide our head in the sand and act arrogant or proud. We should be the most humble people of all and thankful that God has given us what He has. And we need to share that love with other people and be compassionate on other people. The Bible says, prefer others before yourself. Did you ever watch somebody walk on your lawn or do something and say, hey, get off of my lawn? Or don't park in that space, that's mine. Big deal. What's really in our heart? Mine. We don't want to live like that. I found it a lot easier to live to just live for the Lord. Let God control my day. Be quiet when I want to speak. My wife hears enough at home, me letting it out when I'm watching the news at all. Nobody else needs to hear that, you know, getting frustrated with watching the news. I just wish everything was righteous and holy and pure. And it always brings me back to Jesus, thinking, Jesus is the only way to achieve this. And we are so blessed to be Christians. We are so blessed to be able to gather here and be of one accord. Many different nationalities, different cultures here. Great! One accord, one family. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And we need to display love because walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, a person, however, that's not born again, that's the problem out there, doesn't have the power to do that. They don't have that capacity to love in them unconditionally. They live for themselves. When I look back at my life before I was a Christian, I thought I loved and I cared about things. I mean, we even got in politics at one election when we were before we were Christians. We went out registering voters. We went to the place where the guy was speaking, very involved. But it's a different side from where I am now. But we were right in that movement and thought I loved and loved people. But when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, that was a wake-up call, because love for me was on a different plane. It wasn't sacrificial. And now it's an understanding of everybody and a love for everybody. And I look back and I say, only Jesus could do that. I can't wake up in the morning and say, I'm really going to love today. You won't do it. The first guy that cuts you off on the freeway, there goes your love. Real love, fire can't quench it. That's what the Bible says. Fire can't quench it. It's there. It's real. Isn't that wonderful? No, we can get upset at times, but the Holy Spirit gets us back on track, doesn't he? Jim, whack! Love. And you know what happens? You start churning inside when you walk out of step. You get irritated. You get stressed. You get upset with people. Things come out of your mouth that shouldn't be. Walk in love. That means live your daily life in love as Christ also loved you. Aren't you glad when you misstep or you get out of sync that the Lord doesn't just say, I'm done with you. I'm divorcing you. He says, we're there together forever. You've given your life to me. I love you. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Turn. You have this cleansing. That's what I love about 1 John. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin if we confess our sin to him. But those things should be less and less in our life as we grow as a Christian. We should be walking in step with the Lord. We should grow. You can't stay on the bottle forever, you know. You got to start eating healthy food and get in church and Bible study and grow and mature. And then we live this life. But we do have the Holy Spirit and we can live this way. People read the Bible and say, well, I could never do that. Yes, you can if you're a born-again Christian. If you're not, you can't. But as you release yourself to the Lord and you're conscious of his presence, we have the power to do it. Let's turn to Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know, isn't that wonderful? You know what he's saying here? It's God who gives us both the will to do it and the power to do it. People say, how does that work? Well, what it means is, if you walk in the Spirit, if your mind is on the Lord, and you come up with a situation that is troubling or would be a situation where you would get upset or angry or bitter or unforgiving or whatever, if you're walking in the Spirit, you keep your mind on the Lord, it's God saying to you, if you just turn to me right now, and will to do the right thing. Because let's face it, when faced with temptation or sin or a problem, we can take one of two paths. We can get in the flesh, and sometimes you're saying to yourself, yeah, but I really do want to give them a piece of my mind. Or your mind is on the Lord, and you say, oh, as much as I want to get back at this person or do this thing, Lord, I will to not do that bad thing, and I will turn to you in prayer and ask for help, and then he gives you the strength. People think he's going to give you all that strength up front, and you're never going to be tempted or fail. Nope, he allows us to will, the free will, to take the left or the right, to do it or to not do it. But the good news is, once you will in your heart to do the right thing, the strength comes. Isn't that great? And so it's something that you have to try, because it's just not going to come. You have to do it. Not try, but you have to do it. And say, I will to do the right thing here. And you know, a person may be so irritating you that you're ready to speak, but you just quickly lift up a prayer to God and say, please, God, let me hold my tongue and not say anything here. Get me out of this situation. And in that instant, he'll give you the power. And at the end of the night, you're sitting on your bed or somewhere, and you say, praise the Lord, I didn't do it. Did you ever have that happen to you? You're so glad you took the right following God. But you have to will to do it, because your nature wants to do just the opposite. You know, you want to give that person a piece of your mind, or you want to fulfill that temptation. You want to do the wrong thing. God's saying, don't. I'm going to give you your free choice, Jim. If you want to do it, go ahead. But if you will to do the right thing, I'll give you the strength. I'll intervene here. That's what it takes. And that's the way we walk with God. You see, it's God giving us that will and the strength to do it. So verse 2, he's given himself, Jesus, he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We yield to the Holy Spirit. See, I can know how to walk in the Spirit, but not choose to. That's my choice. I can do whatever I want. God doesn't force anyone to go to heaven, and he doesn't force anyone to walk in the Spirit. God just says to people, and this is what people need to understand, God allows you freedom. If you want to go to heaven, he says, here's a ticket, Jesus Christ. If you don't, I feel sorry for you because you're my creation, but I have to allow you free will. If you want to walk in the Spirit, I'll help you. If not, I'll allow you to do that. He's a wonderful God. He's just a wonderful God. And so we have this choice. Do we choose to do that, to love others as God loved us? But you know what? When it says an offering, a sacrifice pleasant to God, Jesus is that example. John 15, if you would like to turn there. John 15, John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life as an offering to God the Father. He says, I will die in their place. So the example is us laying ourselves down for other people as an offering to God. What kind of offering does God want? You and I. Lay yourself down as an offering to God to be used by God and to bless other people. How much did Jesus give to the Father? All. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. An offering that speaks of anything you and I give to God. What is a sacrifice? Sacrifice speaks of death. You see, in the Old Testament, a sacrifice was required for sin. And a sacrifice was brought to the priest and offered up on the altar and totally consumed. That was the sacrifice that was acceptable. You remember in John 1:29, where John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. There's the sacrifice, Jesus. Verse 2, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. We don't give God the things we don't want. We give him ourselves. We give him the best. It speaks of this acceptable fragrance to... Do you like a sweet-smelling aroma or an odor? Do you have any odors in here today? Don't raise your arm. But, you know, I think we know the difference of what he's saying here. What do we want to be to God? A sweet-smelling sacrifice or an odor? You see, a sweet-smelling aroma, well-pleasing to God. God wants our life. In Leviticus chapters 1, 2, and 3, it speaks about the sacrifices and the offerings. Let's turn to Leviticus 1, verse 8 and 9. Leviticus 1, verse 8 and 9. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. What they would do is take the fat and different parts and offer it up to God, which was a sweet-smelling aroma. Did you ever smell stuff on the barbecue, the fat, the steak, cooking on there, and it's like, that part is so tasty, too, when it cooks on that grill. A lot of times we'll smell next door them cooking out, and you smell this beautiful aroma, a sweet-smelling aroma. I think of this where the priest would offer these parts and this fat to the Lord, and it'd be, man, you just get hungry. Hey, man, I'm going out there and cook out. It's good. The part that really smells good was offered up to God. Jesus reflects Jesus offering all for us on that altar while we were yet sinners. And so that's why he says in verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of Jesus. Offer up everything. You know, I believe according to Scripture, we are in the last days. To me, it would make no sense what's happening in this world today if it weren't in the last days. And then I can say, well, you know, 2 Peter 3, the state of man, the way he'll be, we've gone through that many times. That's the way it is today. And then the things that are happening in history and across the world and all, and everybody ready to blow each other apart. You say, well, we're in the last days. You know, it is going to end like that. You know, God's never going to destroy the earth with flood again. Fire will be used in the book of Revelation. And you say, we're in those days. And we can see how things are changing and it's evil. Well, we must seize this opportunity while we're here, by imitating our Father so that we look like our dad. So that people can see, number one, that there is a God that exists, that he is a God of love, that he loves them, he's their creator, and that he provided a way for them to go to heaven again. They need to know that. You know, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we also need to pray, pour out your spirit, Lord. Save those we love. Because the time is short. You know, we know there's no hope now. There's no turning back. There'll be no turning back in history, in the world, with all these weapons and all these things going on. We have a lot of evil people around. So we need to live for Jesus and be a sweet-smelling aroma wherever we go and a sacrifice to God where people say, oh, I like that. I like to be around you. You don't want people running away because you have this odor. 2 Corinthians 2, please. 2 Corinthians 2. And I think you've understood by now we're not going to go through verse 6. 2 Corinthians 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? See, we are a living sacrifice here for God. And we're among the saved and the unsaved, bringing this fragrance. But those that reject it, it's an aroma of death. They reject his love. And they say no. But to others that accept it, it leads to life, eternal life. And Paul says, we're not sufficient, but God still uses us, you know. So we should be the fragrance of Christ, a living sacrifice. And be among the world, walking as God's dear children, letting people know there's a better way and there's hope. And then he goes on in verse 3, which we'll pick up next week, verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6, going through the things we should definitely avoid because it doesn't reflect being a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we can be a fragrance in this world. Remind us of that when we're in school or at work or in the neighborhood or at home or in church. Remind us that you are watching and you see your children wherever they are. I pray we would be a blessing to you, Lord. I pray we would be a sweet-smelling aroma. Thank you so much for allowing us to be your child. What a privilege, what a blessing. The world needs you. Our nation needs you. Our community needs you. We are the ones you've called in these last days to be here. What a privilege. I pray that people would see you in us, that we are imitators of you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.